We have a little ongoing thing. When I turned 50 a few years ago, I got summoned to the warehouse by the 40-year-old today, telling me toilets were overflowing, there was a mess being made, come quickly, run. So I jumped up from my office and I ran. Now, that's not healthy for a 50-year-old to be running to start with. And I run in the door, and about that time, everybody screams, "Surprise!" And I about went to my knees. I haven't forgotten that day. Today, we're going to continue on in Ephesians chapter 4. If you'll turn to your copy of God's Word. Last week, we read and studied what God's Word has to say about anger. We're going to finish up a little bit on that today and move on. Today, chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Next week, Jimmy will be back and he will start a sermon series on Forgiven. Just out of curiosity, we now send the newsletter out via email. Tell on yourself. Do you read that? If you do, raise your hand. Not a lot of folks. We still have the opportunity to mail it. If you would prefer receiving your copy of the newsletter by mail, just please call one of the ladies in the office. Let us know. We still mail out 40 or 50. We'd be more than happy to mail yours to you. So we want everybody to be informed what's going on at First Baptist Church. But I asked that question because on the front cover of the newsletter was talking about Jimmy's new sermon series, Forgiven, from the book of Philemon. So, again, please open that mass email that you receive and read the newsletter, or let us know. We'll be happy to mail you a copy. God's Word, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Join me in prayer, please. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege to be at your house today. Help us remember, Lord, that your instruction manual is one that we should heed. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon and Joseph Parker were two well-known ministers, pastors in the 19th century. On one occasion, Parker commented on the poor condition of the children entering into the orphanage that Spurgeon ran. However, it was reported to Spurgeon that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. Well, unlike Spurgeon, he blasted Parker the next week from his pulpit. The attack was printed in the newspapers and became the talk of the town. The next week, many people flocked to Parker's church to hear what his rebuttal was going to be to the article and to the words that Spurgeon said. As he got up, he started by saying, "Today, I believe, is the day that Pastor Spurgeon's church takes up an offering for the orphanage. However, I know Pastor Spurgeon is not in the pulpit today, so today our church will take up an offering for that orphanage." That day, the ushers had to empty the offering plates three times. To the delight of his people, the rebuttal was one of forgiveness. Later that week, there was a knock on the door of Parker's office. Spurgeon went in and said, "You've shown and practiced grace to me. You've given me not what I deserved, but you've given me what I needed." There are so many times that I come into this church on Sunday mornings looking at people's faces and seeing anger or heartache, or it must be something causing that scowl on your face. Sometimes I wonder, did the husband and wife have a fight on the way to church because they won't even look at each other? Or did the brother and sister say something in the car on the way because their eyes are like daggers staring at each other? And not only do I wonder that, but I wonder just what kind of worship are they going to be able to have today, that day, in God's house with that frame of mind? Well, I can tell you, confession's good for the soul. I've been there, done that, had some of those on the way to church conversations. I can also tell you that as a minister, there are times that I purposely avoid you on Sunday morning. If you come to early service, you're going to see me scooting in at the last minute. And no, I'm not running late. I'm doing that on purpose. Sure, I may have had road rage on the way, but I'm doing that on purpose so that I don't have to encounter that wonderful church member that wants to spew all over me before I sit down and try to worship. Imagine that. Ministers need to be fed too. Ministers like to worship too. Yes, we do. We need to. I see people all around us bitter and angry. Angry with the world because it hasn't given them enough. Angry at God because they don't think they've been treated fairly by Him. Angry at their spouses because they don't think marriage is what they had expected. Angry at their children, angry at their neighbors, angry at their job. They're just angry. And all too often, that anger turns into resentment. Well, resentment is that deep feeling of displeasure or anger that we have towards someone or some group that's done something to us in the past. It's hard to be angry at somebody going to do something to you in the future if you don't know what they've even done yet. So it's past. It's our painful, painful memory of past hurts. Unfortunately, resentment is a great enemy of right relationships. It destroys friendships and turns friends into enemies. But the most damaging effect of resentment is the destruction on the one who holds it. If we hold our resentment, it can and will grow into bitterness. And bitterness affects our health, our mind, our personality, and of course, it affects our relationship with God. Read verse 31 again. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." There's a sermon in every word almost of that verse. What you don't want to do is become bitter. Bitterness is a poison to your body. I read one article this week that says that some doctors say as much as 90% of all our illnesses are caused by anger, fear, resentment, and bitterness. 90% of all of our illnesses. Can you imagine what we could do to the healthcare system of America if we could just shed those four things? Today in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible cautions us about the root of bitterness. It says, See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. All it takes is one critical, ugly saint in the church to stir up more trouble than you can possibly imagine. You've heard the old saying, one bad apple spoils the whole batch. We need to ask God for grace to endure whatever we're going through, and not become bitter towards anyone or towards any circumstance. Sadly, I think, sometimes we believe, oh, we can be the exception, or there are exceptions. No. You think, oh, a deliberate smear campaign against us, that's an exception. No. Or a husband who walks out on his 43-year-old wife for that 21-year-old woman. Or that wife who betrays her husband for a fleeting sensation of a weekend affair. Or the children who reject their parents' values and play the life of idol degenerates after being brought up in godly homes. Or women who are held back simply because of their sex. Or men who don't get that promotion because of their color. Or employees who are fired because the boss wants to promote or hire a friend or family member. Or those retirees who are struck down with severe disabilities after having waited for years to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Exceptions? No. Bitterness can be justified by us so easily. But we must be careful not to allow bitterness to take root in our lives. A pastor was called to the bedside of a dying man. It was a man that nobody in town liked. He lived on the outskirts of town in a dilapidated old house. And every time he came to town, he made sure people knew that he didn't want to talk to anybody and he didn't want anybody talking to him. He made it clear that he didn't want to be around anybody because he was hard, bitter, and sullen. As a child, I lived next door to a man that way. That if our ball went in his yard, we were scared to go get it. People wondered what made this man so bitter and so mean. Some thought, boy, he must have a real guilty secret. Others thought, boy, he must have committed a hard crime somewhere and he's hiding from the law. But guess what? They were all wrong. The simple truth was that as a young man, a friend had done him a grievous wrong. He'd gotten so angry at that young friend that he said, I'll remember it until my dying day. And guess what? He did. He said to the pastor that was sitting at his bedside, I've gone over that event every day. I've thought about it every night. I've cursed at that man 100 times a day. As he was grasping for breath, he continued, he said, I now see that bitterness has eaten me and eaten my soul. My hate has hurt nobody but myself. And God knows that it has turned my life into a living hell. There is no doubt in my mind, and shouldn't be in yours, that bitterness affects our relationship with God. Not only does it affect our personal relationship with God, it affects our ability to influence anybody for Him. And when we allow bitterness to take over, that bitterness spills over into the lives of all those around us. The Old Testament talks about a hero that became a zero. I'm sure you've all heard of the bitterness that destroyed the life of King Saul. He began his reign as a respected and favored ruler, but he ended in defeat, sorrow, and suicide. The ravages of a bitter spirit towards David and towards God were instrumental in his demise. When the root of bitterness has been growing a long time, it takes a while to get rid of it. It doesn't always go away instantaneous. As children of God, however, we have the capacity to forgive and to root out bitterness from our lives, even when it causes us temporary loss or humiliation. Unless we forgive, we cannot love. So what is it we should do? Read verse 32. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." I believe one of the most difficult things we as humans can do is forgive. You remember the old cliche? To err is human, to forgive is divine. No kidding, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that simple, "excuse me." Sometimes it's easy to say, you know, "I'm sorry, excuse me." You can say it so many times that sometimes people start getting a little tired of it. I'm talking about that kind of forgiveness that is a matter of the heart. The kind of forgiveness that prevents broken marriages, broken relationships, split churches, and prevents or heals bitterness. God knows how hard it is for us to forgive, because He knows each and every one of our hearts. He does, however, know how to teach us to forgive. Because guess who's the author of forgiveness? God Himself. What's the definition of forgiveness? To pardon, to give up the wish to punish or retaliate, not to have hard feelings at or towards others. I heard a story about a summer camp. Young boy went to summer camp, and he didn't have very much money for snacks. We put the snack money in a little bag and give it to the counselor, and you can tell, some come with $5, some come with $25. This little boy didn't have as much as most, but one of his few pleasures during the week was to buy a box of candy. He'd buy that box of candy, he'd eat about half of it, he'd put the other half under his pillow on his bunk. He went down to get that other half of box of candy, pulled back the pillow, and the box was gone. Someone had stolen his half a box of candy. As he was leaving the cabin in disgust and anger, another little boy walked by him holding that box of candy and looked at him like, "So what are you going to do about it?" The little boy didn't do anything about it, but he got very sad, very upset. One of the counselors asked him, "What's wrong?" And he told him about the little boy that had stolen his candy. The counselor looked at the boy and said, "We just need to teach him a lesson, don't we?" Well, I know what every one of you are thinking, the same thing I'm thinking. That little boy needs to be taught a lesson. But this was the plan that the counselor gave the little boy. He said, "I'm going to buy two boxes of candy, one for you and one for you to give to that other little boy." Well, you can imagine the little boy that had his candy stolen wasn't real happy. He says, "Well, isn't he going to get punished? Aren't you mad at him?" And the counselor just simply said, "If I punish him, he's going to be even madder at you." So reluctantly, the little boy took that box of candy, gave it to the boy that stole his candy, And you know something? Later that week, those two little boys became the best friends. Before the week was over, the little thief became into the best friend that was buying the other boy candy. That little camper learned a valuable lesson. He learned the importance and the benefits of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It's not always an easy process, and there's always obstacles that may face us when we attempt to practice forgiveness. So why do we want to forgive? Well, let's look at the second part of that verse, where it says, even as God in Christ forgave you. We forgive because forgiveness is a precept of God's. God tells us in many, many places throughout His Word to forgive. It's here in Ephesians. I found it in Matthew chapter 6, Mark chapter 11, Luke chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3. And these are just to name a few. The word forgive is used 56 times in the Bible. But that doesn't include words like forgiven, forgiving, forgiveness, or forgave. Let me share with you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Oh, but listen to me closely. Don't forget. But each time you remember the hurt, remember your forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an intentional action. It has nothing to do with how we feel. When people say, I can't forgive, what they're really saying is, I won't forgive. Forgiveness is a clear choice, a conscious decision. We can make it, even though we feel hurt, betrayed, and angry, we can still forgive. Forgiveness is not conditional. We don't demand change before we forgive. As a matter of fact, the person that hurt us may hurt us again. But we have the responsibility to forgive. Forgiveness is not weakness. No, it's not giving in. Matter of fact, to forgive takes a whole lot of strength. Forgiveness is not partial. The divine standard is 70 times 7, according to who? Jesus. And what's meant there is no limit to forgiveness. Forgiveness is not waiting on an apology. We should initiate the healing by always taking the first step. And that step's not going to someone and say, I forgive you, when they didn't ask for it. You may even insult them. But we shouldn't wait for someone to apologize to us or for ask us to forgive them. But we should forgive them first in our hearts. Jesus' words from the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. You should all be familiar where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus asked for forgiveness for those that were crucifying Him. And they certainly didn't ask for it, nor deserve it. Forgiveness isn't suddenly liking the person, although the Bible tells us we should love everyone. But not everyone's going to become our best bud just because we have forgiven them. Friendship may grow out of the forgiveness, like the little boy at camp. But sometimes we may only achieve tolerance or forbearance or a peaceful coexistence. I read this week a wise saying, people with clenched fist can't shake hands. Forgiveness is not optional. You know, as I was going back through my notes, I realized I had entitled this sermon, Bitterness or Forgiveness, Your Choice. And I believe we have a choice in life. I believe God has made us so we can choose. But I also believe that we have another command. If you'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, just a quick right-hand turn. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yes, we have a choice, but I really don't see where we have a lot of choice when His Word says we must forgive. Forgiveness is that bridge you don't want to burn as you go across it, because you never know when you might need to go back across it. Forgiveness is not impossible. The presence and power of Christ in us can do all things. God can enable us to forgive. Remember the verse? We forgive because Christ forgave us. We are to forgive after the manner of God's forgiveness extended to us. God has in Christ forgiven us. He has so much more to forgive us than we have to forgive anybody else. Here in Ephesians, we're told to forgive on the basis of the grace of God, which He exhibited in our forgiveness for Christ's sake. Why? Because Christ died for us. Every sin, His Son took to the cross. He will forgive. Are you still unable to forgive someone who hurt you deeply? Do you still bear those scars? How long will you remain a prisoner to your own unforgiving spirit? You have the power to forgive, to be healed, and to be set free. Without forgiveness, you'll be stuck in the past, and there's no place to live in the past. I pray before you leave here today that you'll have that ability to forgive the one who hurt you, even as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you and set you totally free. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've asked for forgiveness, where you've acknowledged His and your need to forgive? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Let today be the day. Don't carry that unforgiving spirit one more minute. Let today be the day that Christ can set you free. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I thank You for the privilege, the awesome responsibility to be used by You to share Your Word. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today that needs to release those bonds of bitterness, they can do it today. If there's anyone here that needs to ask You into their heart and ask forgiveness for the sins You bore on the cross, let it be today. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, Your grace, Your patience, and Your forgiving spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.